All right, everybody, let's talk about the GI map and SIBO testing. So why are we going to do the SIBO before GI map? So we have set this course up where you learn the SIBO before you learn the GI map. And the reason is largely to the following reasons. Usually we run them both. Like ideally, we want to run them both. They're gonna give us different information. They really go well together, but sometimes we have a cost perspective where we can't. Or sometimes if you're working in a program model where you have a lab budget and it's a very limited lab budget for this particular person, you may not be able to run them both. So sometimes we have to choose, and SIBO is cheaper, so that's an advantage of doing SIBO. And we also, with research, we see that SIBO is such a large cause of undiagnosed GI cases. And then we also see that it is one of the number one root causes of IBS. There's connections with SIBO with autoimmune, thyroid, skin, GERD, that's very strong in the research. So there's also connections with a lot of these disease processes and microorganisms on the GI map as well. So it's not to say that these disease processes, such as autoimmune and thyroid issue and skin issues, will only happen with SIBO problems and not with microorganisms on the GI map. But what I am saying here is that we do see that undiagnosed cases of things like IBS or gastrointestinal problems are so high in relationship to being caused by SIBO. So if we have to choose, usually we choose SIBO. Now, the other thing is we can get some standard microorganisms from the large intestine tested through insurance, typically through things like LabCorp. As I mentioned, like these are not going to be very thorough, but sometimes we could have at least gotten a minimal amount of stool cultures from their GP or from running through their insurance. So, and if there's affordability, SIBO is less expensive. But this is, to give you a situation where you can't do both. What do you choose? And most of the time, we choose SIBO, and that is why. But here's some more things to think about is, so one, we have that the infections on the GI map could actually predispose somebody to SIBO. So remember, we talked about in the SIBO section, we talked about how somebody with small intestinal bacteria overgrowth could have that due to that toxin being released and that toxin actually basically shutting down the migrating motor complex, leading to that overgrowth. So infections on the GI map could be directly related to the precursor to why somebody gets SIBO. We also see, and we talked about this in the SIBO module too, that digestive secretion deficiencies could predispose somebody to SIBO. So we see that if somebody has a lower amount of stomach acid or a lower amount of pancreatic enzymes, for example, that can set somebody up to the development of SIBO. So dysbiosis section on the GI map is going to directly measure methanobacteria, and these methanobacteria are basically often correlate with high methane on SIBO. So even though methane in the large intestine it's not in the small intestine anymore, we do actually, as we discussed in the SIBO section, if we find methane in the large intestine, this is clinically relevant as needing to be treated. And the dysbiosis section on the GI map will measure these methanobacteria that can produce that high methane that we talk about in SIBO section. And we also see that the GI map has yeast and fungal markers. Now, SIBO lab is not going to test for yeast or fungal markers, and yeast or fungal markers in the large intestine certainly is that's different than SIFO, right? SIFO is really talking about the small intestine specifically, but we do want to really consider that if we do have yeast or fungus show up in the large intestine, there may be a higher likelihood that some of that overgrowth could have made its way to the small intestine as a possibility. So, in summary, We have oftentimes this relationship between microorganisms showing up in the large intestine, leading to problems in the small intestine. So oftentimes problems in the small intestine lead to problems, I'm sorry, problems in the large intestine lead to problems in the small intestine. So there's a direct relationship, and these tests do pair really, really nicely together. But because of the research on the predominance of SIBO in undiagnosed gastrointestinal cases, if it truly comes down to affordability, if it truly comes down to any reason why you have to choose one test for people, we do recommend that you choose SIBO over the GI MAP in most cases. Now, of course, if you have any questions about which lab to choose, you are always welcome to join us for our webinars, and we can talk more detail about your specific decision that you have to make. All right, we'll see you in the next lesson.